This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We thank Allah, the Almighty, the Most Merciful. We praise Allah, who is entitled of all of our praise. We ask Allah for protection. We ask Allah to protect us from all types of evil, that which we can see and that which we cannot see. And we ask Allah for forgiveness for all of our mistakes and our shortcomings, even the ones we've forgotten about. And we ask Allah for guidance. We ask Allah to grant us guidance, and we ask Allah to keep us upon guidance. And we testify that there is no one worthy to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his last and final messenger. We beg Allah to shower our beloved messenger with compliments and salutations, along with his family and his companions, whom we love so much, and along with all of those who follow the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the end of time. May Allah make us of them. May Allah make us of those who are inspired by the teachings and the guidance of our beloved messenger and strive and put in effort to learn and follow his teachings. In the Quran, Allah has commanded us to have taqwa of him. Be conscious of your Lord. Be conscious and aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watchful over you at all times. Make sure that you are obeying Allah in what He has commanded, and you are protecting yourself from Allah's displeasure by staying away from what He has forbidden. That is taqwa. I intended to share with you today a very important topic, but I chose to delay that to a later time because I was reminded of a beautiful story that one of our teachers in Medina shared. And I happened to check what the khutbah was about last week, and I noticed that it was a very important topic that the Imam addressed you all about. So inshallah ta'ala, we will not follow up a very heavy and important topic with another heavy important topic. But rather today inshallah ta'ala, we will remind one another of a very basic concept which I am sure we all know about and we have heard many times. But that is the purpose of Jumu'ah khutbah. They say it is maqam al-tadhkir, walaysa maqam al-ta'lim. The main objective of our gathering here today is to remind one another. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. May Allah make us of those who hear the reminder and benefit from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an commanded the messenger to share stories. فَقُصُصِ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Share with them stories so that they may ponder and reflect and think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us as a creation. Our brains, our emotions love stories, and we learn very effectively from them. That is why the Qur'an contains so many truthful stories, and that is why our beloved Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam shared so many stories with the Sahaba as a means of educating and reminding them. I like to always reflect upon the stories of the Qur'an, the stories of the messengers. But today actually is a story, a very present day story of someone alive now. A modern day story, if you will. In Medina, we had a very beloved teacher who shared this story with us. It's a first-hand account that he experienced. And I want to pass it on, so the chain of narration is unbroken. And he shared that one day he was walking from his house in his neighborhood in Medina, and he saw one of his neighbors doing something very strange. He saw one of his neighbors digging into the trash can. Not a small trash can, but the big bin. They don't have small individual trash cans in front of the houses like we do. They have big garbage bins. The whole corner of the street dumps their trash in there, and sometimes it overflows. He saw one of his neighbors digging into the trash bin and pulling something out, and then returning it and then going back to his house. And this really bothered him. And the reason why it bothered him is because this teacher of ours is someone who is very active in charitable work, عمل الخيري, charitable work. He actually oversees and runs and established many charitable organizations. So for him to see someone doing that was very disturbing, because that's right in his neighborhood. So after some time, he thought, how can I approach a situation? So he approached that neighbor of his. He said, can I come visit you? Yes. So he went to visit the man in his house. And he went to go visit him, and when he entered in his house, he found that the situation was very nice. The man's house was very nice, and he welcomed him with good food and drinks. And it seemed like everyone was very comfortable. And he said, how are you doing? He inquired, everything is okay, anything I can be of service, assistance. The man said, everything is great, alhamdulillah. As a matter of fact, they were enjoying many luxuries and wealths. And so our teacher said to the man, the neighbor, he said to him, listen, I've got to come clean. I need to be honest with you. I saw you do something and I'm very much troubled by it. That's why I came to visit you. He said, what did you see? He said, that day I saw you digging into the trash bin and taking something out. And it bothered me so much, and I was really concerned that perhaps you might be in need and I don't even know about it. Subhanallah. Let us be inspired by our teachers. They want to help others before they show signs of being in need. May Allah make us of those who are attentive to the needs of our brothers and sisters and neighbors. He said, it bothered me that you might be in a situation of need and I didn't know about it. So if there's anything I can be of help, please let me know. So the man sent to our teacher, he said to him, no, alhamdulillah, we are not in need. We are very comfortable and everything is okay. But I will tell you why I was digging in the trash. He said, I was digging in the trash because I saw someone throwing food away. And so I wanted to go and find that food, and if it's something I can clean and eat, I will do so. Beautiful. And he said to our teacher, and you might think I am exaggerating, you might think I am being too much in this thing that I did. So let me explain to you the background story. We are neighbors, but you don't know my life story. Let me tell you where I came from, so I can explain to you why I did this. So now the man tells his own story, the neighbor of our teacher. He said, a long time ago, approximately 60 years ago, approximately, which doesn't seem like a long time, but the world was very different 60 years ago. One of our teachers said, the world has changed in the last 50 years more than in the last 500. Meaning if you went back 50 years ago, it was more similar to 500 years ago than it is to now. And some of the scholars said this is the signs, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, and Allah knows best. But changes are happening very rapidly. So 60 years ago, it's within many people's here's lifetime. But yet, things were very different. He said, 60 years ago, I was living in Mecca. Again, many of us hear of that place and we think there is a lot of wealth and luxury, but actually there is also a lot of abject poverty as well. So he said, I was living in Mecca and I was married and I had one daughter. It was me and my wife and our daughter. And we were living through a time of very intense poverty. I did not have work. And so I used to go out every single day and stand outside in the marketplace, in the street, offering my services if anybody wants to hire me. Very similar to what we see many people do now. Labor work. No job today, but I'm available. If anybody wants to take me to do physical labor, I will do that. So he says, I was doing that. And day after day after day, nobody was hiring me for any job. And we started running out of food. He said, until 3 days went by, I did not eat a single thing. After 3 days, I had not ingested a single piece of food. We completely ran out of food. And so he said, even my mind was not functioning properly. And so he said, an idea came to me, a very strange idea, that I will sell my own daughter. Which is shocking. Again, in those days, people were still working as servants and laborers. So people would purchase a servant to have them in their household and work as a servant or a maid. Not like what we think of slavery in the context of American history. So he said, I went to my wife and I said, "This, I can't think of any other solution other than I sell my daughter, she can work for someone as a servant, and we go on from there." And my wife was furious and she said, "How can you suggest such a thing? This is horrible." And he said, "Listen, we are adults. Maybe we can wait one more day, two more days, maybe three more days. But this young girl, if she doesn't get something to eat tomorrow, she might die. Yes, she will be a servant, and yes, it will be a very lowly occupation, but at least they will put food in front of her. She won't die of starvation." And so eventually my wife, he says, agreed. And so he says, I took my daughter to the marketplace, and I said, anybody wants to purchase a servant or a maid, take my daughter to work in their house. Those that are parents might be thinking, this is impossible. But when a person reaches that brink and that level of desperation, they will do some very shocking things. And so he said, someone came and purchased my daughter as a servant and paid 12 coins. 12 coins. And I took that money. The person seemed like an average nice person. I was sad, but at least I was happy that she would have something to eat and a home, a healthy home to live in. He said, and I took those 12 coins and I was still there in the marketplace. The first thing I'm thinking of is what? Food. So I went, and it was very common. Until now, it was very common that people eat dates. That is a whole meal. So he said, the first seller I saw selling dates, I gave him 2 coins and I said, give me the biggest bag of dates you have. The bag was so heavy and I was so weak after not eating for so many days, I couldn't even carry it. I told the seller, follow me to my house and deliver the dates. And in excitement of going home and giving this money and this food to my starving wife and being able to sit and eat, he said he was tripping and hastening and rushing. When he got home, he turned around and the man carrying, true story, and the man carrying the dates was not there. And he said, where could this person have gone? Just now I was anticipating putting some food in my mouth, and now I can't find the person who has my food. So he said, well, I'll just have to go buy more food. He reached into his pockets, and the money that he had was gone. And he is thinking, that's it. I should just wait to die. I just sold my daughter to servitude. And the food that I just got, I lost it. And the remaining 10 coins I had are gone. I have nothing left in this world. He is waiting for death to come upon him. And he said, well, if I'm about to die, I might as well go to the Kaaba. He was living in Mecca, we said. So he says he goes to the Kaaba. He goes to the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, waiting to die. And he sees the man that had bought his daughter. And in that madness, as we said, the exhaustion can make the brain think of very strange things. He said, the idea came to me, I will follow this man as he goes home, and I will kill him and take back my daughter. At least I can have my daughter back. Crazy idea, even more crazy than the first one. Desperation. So he watches the man. And he's waiting for him to finish tawaf and leave the masjid with his daughter. And then the man sees him. And he says to him, "Come here, I want to talk to you." He said, "How is this girl related to you?" He said, she's just a girl that we had in our house. She was working for us, now I'm selling her to you. I sold her to you in the marketplace." He said, "No, you're lying to me. I asked her who was this man when you left her side, and she said, that is my father. And I came here to the Kaaba out of bewilderment. How could a father sell his own daughter? And Allah brought you here in front of me. You explain yourself. How could you sell your own daughter?" And the man says, "Don't judge me. Let me tell you our situation. A, B, C, D." And he tells him the story. And he says to him, "All you had to do was ask. Don't sell your own daughter into servitude." And he extracted from his pocket a pouch of money, coins. And he said, "Let's count it. Whatever I have in here, I'll give you half." He had 30 coins. He gave him 15 and he kept 15. And he said, "Take your daughter back. Don't give me any money. And go and don't ever sell your child into servitude again." So the man is so overjoyed. He didn't make dua. He didn't do anything. You guys are waiting for the spiritual punchline, right? Maybe he made some amazing dua that I should learn. He didn't make any dua. He went to the Kaaba. He actually was planning to do something heinous. Kill this man. He got his daughter back and he got back more money than he got when he sold her the first time. So again, what is the first thing he's thinking of? Food. So he leaves the masjid and he goes to the marketplace. And guess who he sees? The same man that he bought dates from the first time. And he said, "Where were you? You stole the food that I bought from you." He said, "Mister, I didn't steal anything. I was trying to follow you, but you were dizzy and going in circles. I lost you. So I came back to my store in hopes that you would come back. And here you are. Take the dates that you bought from me earlier." The man said, "I can't carry it. It's too heavy. Carry it with me home." And when he got home, he had those dates. When he extracted the dates out of the bucket, he found those 10 coins that he had lost. So he said, "Out of the sheer relief that I felt at that moment, I made a promise to Allah." And that day, he said, "I made a promise to Allah that, oh Allah, I will never belittle food again. And any food that I see, even if it's on the ground or in the trash, if I can pick it up and clean it, I will do so." And he said, "Now, decades later, I am comfortable, we are wealthy, but I am still fulfilling that promise that I made to Allah. And when I saw my neighbor throw the food in that trash, I had to go looking for it." This real life experience moved our teacher so much, and he shared it with us. There are so many lessons which I'm sure each one of us will walk away from based on our experiences and based on what ideas and feelings this story conjures up within our minds and our hearts. May Allah make us of those who listen and follow the best of what they hear. أَقُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. Repent to Allah, He is the most forgiving, most merciful. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صلي وسلم وأنعم وأكرم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: "ولقد وصينا الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم وإياكم أن اتقوا الله." We thank and praise Allah and we ask Him to shower our messenger with compliments and salutations. Allah said in the Quran that we have recommended and commanded and reminded the nations before you and this ummah as well to have taqwa of Allah. The universal timeless command and reminder from Allah is to have taqwa of Him. Be conscious and never forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of us at all times. This story reminds us of one of the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which invokes within the believer patience and hope. Gratitude, patience and hope. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, "وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا." The Prophet ﷺ said, no, be conscious of the fact that a Nasr, victory, comes with patience. Victory comes as a byproduct of patience. And Faraj, an opening, comes after difficulty. وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And ease and facilitation comes after challenges. The Prophet ﷺ is giving us the order of operations. Allah, our Creator, informed us in the Qur'an, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِشَرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Allah said, we will test you with poverty and with wealth as well. With good and with negative. As a trial and as a test. And as much as we don't like that as human beings, it is part of human nature not to wish or enjoy challenges and tests. It is the very fact of our life. Somebody might say, I am doing okay, I don't have any challenges. We have communal challenges. That's why it becomes very easy sometimes to lose hope and forget about the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very important that if we go through experiences of difficulty, that we not allow the devil, we do not allow shaitan to take advantage of that difficulty and pull us away from Allah. Every challenge and every moment of discomfort is an opportunity that shaitan will attempt to capitalize on to distance you from your Creator. Do not allow your enemy to distance you from your Creator because of a small time period of challenges that you are enduring. Also, sometimes we talk to people who are going through challenges. And sometimes they don't want to be told others have it worse than you. Someone said to me recently, that really bothers me and it makes me feel worse. And the idea is not to be reminded of stories like this so that we can belittle anyone's challenges and say someone else had it worse than you. And that's not to make small of your difficulty and the pain that you are feeling. But rather it is actually to see how the whole story plays out from beginning till end. Of the wisdoms of Allah telling us the stories of the messengers is so that we can see that the end, the messengers and those that remained connected to Allah were victorious. So just like somebody else went through difficulty and eventually it was removed from them and they found comfort, likewise it is only a matter of time before inna ma'al usri yusra, before a challenge is followed up by comfort and facilitation from Allah, so long as we remain connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we conclude, we want to remind one another of some important community announcements, and that is our greatest connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our salah. And considering that the time will be changing, daylight saving time will be coming to an end, our congregational salah timings will also be changing. So this Sunday, Salatul Fajr will be at 5:30. A.M. And Salatul Asr will be at 3:15 and Salatul Isha will be at 7:30 p.m. As for Salatul Jumu'ah, which Allah has blessed us to be here now, and we ask Allah to continue to bless us with the opportunity to congregate in His house. Usually Salatul Jumu'ah time changes. Please take note that it will not change this year. Salatul Jumu'ah will not change. Everyone heard that, inshallah? It's okay to communicate to the khatib, just as long as you don't talk to each other. Jumu'ah will not change. It will remain at 12:30 and 1:30, respectively, even though daylight saving time is coming to an end. Also, we have our weekly Friday night program tonight. Please join me as we discuss and learn the shama'il, the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on November 16th, the Da'wah and Outreach Committee will be holding a special event called Halal Chinese Night, where there will not only be halal Chinese food served, but also there will be a very insightful presentation about the history of Islam in the country and civilization of China. You are all invited to attend and benefit from these and all other educational programs brought to you by this community. We ask Allah to make us of those who recognize the truth and follow it. And O Allah, make us of those who recognize falsehood and stay away from it. And O Allah, save us from confusion that will lead astray. We have been reminded today to be grateful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger taught us, Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, help us to remember you and to be grateful to you and to worship you, O Allah, in the best of ways. O Allah, grant us the best of this life and the best of the hereafter and protect us from the torment of the hellfire. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وارحم اللهم موتانا وموتى المسلمين. O Allah, anyone who is amongst us that is ill or suffering from illness or sickness, O Allah, grant them cure and strength and good health. And O Allah, anyone from our community who has passed away, or anyone who has family members or loved ones that have passed away, O Allah, shower them with mercy. Fill their graves with light. Fill the hearts of their loved ones with composure and patience, O Allah. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. أقيم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد